Stand by. Your Steve Jones Show audio is loading now. SteveJonesShow.com podcasts are sponsored by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, the beverage supermarket.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And it's Friday. Oh, and what a gorgeous Friday it is. You can't find a cloud in the sky. So you know what we should do? Let's go to Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. I need to stock up for the weekend. I need to get all my beverages. By the way, did I mention beer? You also need to stock up on snacks. Fresh roasted peanuts. You have to try out the pickle bar. Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. We bring in Kevin Herr.
Yes, sir. Happy to be here again.
Peter.
Hello, Steve. What a weekend. Listen to this. Tomorrow, you'll be at Penn State doing the Eastern Michigan game. I'll be up at Bloomsburg with Franklin Quiate going for the Pennsylvania State Athletic Conference rushing title. First game senior year, and Kevin will be doing the Bucknell Bison game.
That'll be the nightcap of the evening.
Yeah.
We'll have the region covered.
Yes, we will.
Wonderful.
Hey, you know how it's football? Do you know how it's football season, Steve?
How's that?
Buhner's back in town. True. When it's not football season, he's somewhere below the Mason-Dixon line.
I like that.
Going to hiding.
You know, I got up this morning, and I walked outside. I could see my breath.
I thought I had that same thought.
It was the upper 30s, and I thought the crisp, cool, it's not officially fall yet, but it felt like autumn this morning, felt like football weather.
Absolutely. Tremendous. I'm looking, as Kevin will be over in Mifflinburg tonight. I think you're going to do a State College Spikes game tonight, are you not?
Tomorrow night. They are playing tonight at Jamestown game one of the series. Game two is tomorrow night.
That's right.
I'm doing game two and if necessary game three.
And I will be at Danville Ironman Stadium watching, as we call
your
him
breath,
right here, the kid.
Oh,
Kevin's son and the Loyal Sock Lancers, and then so it's just a great time of year. I come out of the witness protection program just.
Mercy.
Yes. So,
mercy.
And then we get to sit around on Sunday and watch the NFL and Major League Baseball. It's a huge weekend, Steve, for the Pirates at St. Louis.
Yeah, absolutely. And by the way, it turns out that Kevin sent me a text message of his kid.
Oh, no.
What was the thought process there?
It's he decided he wanted to join the Haney Hawk Nation.
Yes.
So he did.
The joy of being a high school kid.
And knowing it'll grow back.
I decided I wanted to join the business world. I didn't go with one of those. All right. We bring in Matt Shepard, the play-by-play voice of Eastern Michigan football. We've mentioned before that Matt's also the play-by-play voice of Michigan basketball. Matt, welcome. It's great to have you with us on the show. It's good to talk a little Eastern Michigan football with the home opener tomorrow.
Steve, always a pleasure. My honor. How are you?
All right. I'm doing well. And let's get to this football team. They win the opener over Howard. Give us an idea of the balance Ron English wants to have between what Tyler Benz can do and what Bronson Hill can do at tailback.
Well, Bronson Hill's a really good player. I mean, I was just talking to my analyst the other night, and he played 8 years in the NFL, and he firmly believes Bronson Hill is an NFL back. And he's doing it behind, you know, kind of a makeshift offensive line. And it's not just Bronson Hill. I mean, I personally think, if you look at Bronson Hill and you see what he can do out of the backfield, running the football and catching the football, it's one thing. But, you know, Eastern Michigan's got a kid by the name of Darius Jackson, who, Steve, would have been drafted in Major League Baseball, but told every scout and every college that was hot on his trails there out of the state of Illinois that he just loved football. He's got the body of a safety slash linebacker, and he can tote the rock too. I think Tyler Benz has to make good decisions, especially against Penn State, which we all have to be realistic. on Eastern's opportunities here and be realistic about what they can do. But Tyler Benz is a guy who I think had valuable experience last year. He needs to do a better job of reading defenses, but he was pretty accurate last week and threw a couple of really nice touchdown passes, and he's growing with great confidence on a daily basis. You know this because you've called college football longer than I have. That running game for a younger quarterback, and I'm not talking about whether he's a junior or a senior. I'm talking about number of starts under his belt, and Tyler Benz only has 10. That running game can give you as much confidence as completing a pass. So there has to be a balance there for Eastern Michigan against Penn State.
Yeah, Hill, in fact, has 8 starts in his career, and 4 of them are 100-yard rushing games. Let's flip it to the other side. Ron English is – this is an interesting matchup because you have Bill O'Brien, the head coach for Penn State, and he really is the offensive coordinator. Ron English is the head coach for Eastern Michigan, and he's the defensive coordinator. When you look at the you know, Moffmer and Kurtz and those guys – where have they come up short against the run? Because last year they were dead last in the country against the run.
Right. They, you know, it's funny. With Eastern Michigan, it seems like alternating years they have strengths on one side of the ball. This year their weakness is on the offensive line. Last year their strength was on the offensive line. Last year their weakness might have been the guys up front, and this year they view it as a strength up front when you have Kalonji Kashama, yeah, who didn't have a very good game against Howard but can get to the pass rusher. Cy Moffmer is a big guy inside. Pat O'Connor had a really good year last year, or I should say really good week last week, but it was his first career start. I think their linebackers, I think you would even admit this, are a little light in the pants.
Sure.
You know, they're not big, strong. Yeah. They're not your typical Michael Mowdy type linebacker, who I absolutely love and made Minnesota. Congratulations to him.
Yeah.
But Sean Kurtz gets after it. Great eBay is a transfer from Concordia. He just finds a way to make tackles. Will these guys be able to shed the massive offensive line that Penn State throws at him? When Penn State's got guys 6'6", 300 pounds across the board, remains to be seen, which then leaves it up to the guys in the back. And I think Eastern Michigan's defensive core, maybe their strength, might be the secondary. Darius Scott at one side. Willie Creer had a pretty good game on the other side. Donald Coleman will miss the first half of the game because of a hit to the head of a defenseless player last week against Howard. Michael Swaim is a big guy and a very good athlete, as a big, tall, former basketball player. That might be their strength, is the secondary of this club.
In the final minute here, I know this is going to be a Cliff Notes answer, but people may not realize that you also call Michigan basketball. And that team, of course, made it to the national championship game. Right? In 30 seconds or less, can you capsulize what it meant to be a part of that run?
Well, you've been part of national championship football runs. It's the highlight of my broadcasting career, and it's not just because of the event itself, but because of the people it's for. When you call games like you and I do with teams, you get close to them. You know what kind of good people they are. You want good things to happen to them. Michigan did it the right way. John Beilein took a lot of grief here in Detroit for the way he recruited early on. Since then, now people are lauding at how well he's recruiting. They deserved it. They worked hard. They did it the right way. And I think it's just the tip of the iceberg, man. I think they're going to keep it rolling.
Matt, obviously a great experience doing that. Thanks so much for the time you gave us. Can't wait to see you on Saturday.
Steve, looking forward to it almost as much as I'm looking forward to visiting the Creamery, as always, at Penn State. Thanks, buddy.
Matt Shepard, play-by-play voice, Eastern Michigan football. We'll talk on the Emus.
They're the Eagles, but...
I was going to say, that's not the nickname you said it was yesterday, was it?
It's Eagles, but Eastern Michigan University, EMU, Emus.
No, I know. I've been writing it all week. It's funny when you write EMU at PSU. It just... there's something amusing about it, okay?
I don't write it.
It's not going to be nearly as entertaining next week, because then you have, a UCF at PSU.
Yes.
That doesn't have the same ring to it.
I understand that.
What time, now you've done many of these games this early in the morning. What time does the first tailgate actually get started at Beaver Stadium's parking lot?
There's usually somebody there at 7 o'clock, I think. I mean, I've got to be there. Unfortunately, I've got to be there earlier than I realize, so...
What? You have to be there at,
10:25? No, I have to be there. No, I have to be there at 8:30 because the 73 team is having a reunion.
Oh, that's right, the reunion, yeah.
And the television show, Penn State Football, The Next Chapter, they want me to interview the players, so I have to be there for that.
Well, Jason Johnson will be looking for you. He was the winner of our Penn State ticket giveaway with WNL Subaru.
Oh, so, good. Good.
He shared the post on Facebook and now is going to be looking you up on the tailgate. Said something about a picture, wants to blow it up. I'm sure he's using it as a deterrent for people to walk into his house then.
Fine with me. if he thinks it can prevent robberies, good. I mean, Bob, I'm all about crime prevention if that's what it takes.
Yeah, Bob's done prosecuting him now, so he doesn't worry about it anymore. So,
I think Bob respects my stance on how I help the community prevent crime.
Whatever it takes. Whatever it takes to help.
Well, coming up in the next half hour, try and get a hold of Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report, because I know you have a lot of Steelers questions.
You have no idea.
I have no idea?
No, actually, I ran through them earlier, so you do have an idea.
I mean, it's kind of sad. I mean, this is, on top, dominant so long, and now...
You know, it's funny. Didn't I say earlier in this program that you shouldn't get upset with a week one loss right away? So what am I talking about? I'm worried about a week one loss right away. Do you know how many teams have won the Super Bowl after losing the first week of the season?
I don't know, 25?
Eight.
That's bad, boy. You lose that opener, you're cooked.
Eight.
That's not good. But you heard Merrill yesterday. He says, no, it's just 2 of 16.
Well, he's not wrong. He's
not wrong.
I honestly don't worry that much about week one. It's when you get into week four and things don't look any better is when you should be concerned. Especially with pro football. I think pro football is different than high school or college in that aspect.
Yeah. You're still mad at me about the blood pressure thing.
No, I just wondered, did they have to put a mirror under your nose?
I don't know. I just sat there and they just took the thing. And you're mad. What do you want me to do? Be 160 over 110 and be almost dead?
No, I think it's wonderful that you have a very calm demeanor about you.
Well, if people go, "Why are you all excited when you call the games?" Well, it controls excitement, yes.
Yeah, your blood pressure goes up to what, 110?
Coming back, find the promo about Touchdown Shikalimi. I love that one.
Okay.
We will come back in a moment. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Summary, the Beverage Supermarket, Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report, next half hour on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
The best get-togethers start with a trip to the Beverage Supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the Pickle Bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the Beverage Supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
Ready for a quality pre-owned vehicle? Well, get them before they go to auction at Sunbury Motors. Go to sunburymotors.com and click on pre-auction blowout.
Like a Ford Fiesta four-door sedan, SEL, $11,995. 2006 Pontiac Solstice two-door convertible, super low miles, only $15,521. A one-owner 2011 Hyundai Sonata 2.4-liter hybrid for just $17,387. 2012 Ford Econoline cargo van, fully serviced, $18,996. 2010 Ford Explorer Sport Track four-door, $24,352, and a 2011 Lincoln MKX with a six-year, 100,000-mile warranty, just $34,882. Call 888-536-8017.
All come with a Carfax report and our lowest price promise. Pre-auction blowout. 24/7 at sunburymotors.com, at the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at our dealership, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
The Shikellamy Braves play on News Radio 1070 WKOK and online at WKOK.com.
To the 5, to the 2, to the 1, touchdown, Shikellamy!
All right, that's enough. I'm not playing that anymore.
The CBS college football theme?
CBS affiliate.
Wow. Big.
I like that. That and the basketball. Nothing beats the CBS football and basketball music.
You are hoping to say touchdown Shikellamy a few times tonight for the Braves?
Yes, that would be fun. I would enjoy that.
Because we haven't heard one since last season, actually.
That's also true.
It's a cold show.
It's also true.
It's a very cold show. Very cold. I've been trying to keep it warm here with Rick Pizzo, BTN, and Matt Shepard from Eastern Michigan. And the next half hour, Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. Or again, I get the thrill of asking all of Kevin's questions for him.
Did he write them down and text them to you?
Wait a minute. That's what you're here to do.
Just a panic. One after another. And then he gets mad when I bypass the dumb ones.
Well,
they're only dumb in your opinion.
Well, somebody has to edit.
Are they going to be wearing those dumb-looking uniforms this year? I'm sorry. I'm not going to ask them.
You ask him about the gray Poupon pants. I'll bet you get an answer. I don't think I know anybody that likes the gray Poupon pants. It's almost as bad as the jailbird uniforms, which I do think they are scheduled to wear this year.
That's just terrific.
All about marketing and selling extra jerseys.
I'm not. You couldn't give me one of those jerseys.
Oh, I don't know if they gave you one.
No. No.
Okay. Your nickname is FS. Free stuff.
Listen, I draw the line at that.
Oh, come on. Your quality control is so low.
I do come have on. Standards. They're not high standards, but they
come
are
on.
Standards.
They give you free stuff, and you gobble it up.
Not that. No way. That uniform is the ugliest football uniform in the history of the game. Now, the yellow helmets I can actually almost live with. Almost.
The word hideous comes to mind, actually.
Kevin wearing this stuff or them wearing it?
Well, kind of both, actually. Now that I think about it, both applies.
It's going to be the November. It'll be the Detroit game. That's when the Steelers are wearing the jailbird uniforms.
Steve, I have to tell you about an experiment that's going on tomorrow at Bloomsburg University. For about a century or so, they've had a no alcohol, even if you're the correct legal age and above, at football games. So this year, for the first time, they're having a tailgate area where alcohol can be consumed by those of the legal age and above. You have to pay $30 to get admitted to this special zone. Can you imagine what would happen at Penn State if they levied such a charge to the tailgating crowd of 100,000 or so?
Especially when you just go to Kevin's driveway and hang.
Exactly. So this is the grand experiment of college football this weekend at Bloomsburg.
You know what's interesting, though? And I ask this question. I mean, do you need alcohol to have a good time or not?
No, I certainly don't and haven't. And I'm just eager about the game. But there's people who think that some part of the college football experience means sitting out in a concrete parking lot 4 hours before a game early morning and having a few pops of alcohol and, you know, some food to go with it. An emphasis not on the food. Other people love the joy of the game. But this is the big experiment this weekend at Bloomsburg and college football. So we'll see.
Wow. $30, huh?
Yeah. I was thinking that's a little bit salty. But we'll see how I will be able to report on that next week and more.
Firsthand?
No, I'm not paying the $30.
Oh, okay. I thought I'd better ask.
I'm not going to do that.
And I can guarantee I know where he's not borrowing it from, Kevin.
I can't deny. You're right. You're absolutely right.
The only guy I've been around opened his wallet one time. We're out in the golf course. A moth flew out. It's like, wow, bad.
He had bills from the Revolutionary War and Confederate money inside his wallet.
I mean, I didn't realize Jefferson Davis made it to current currency.
Well, in Kevin's wallet, yes, he's known as a, I won't say miserly. I guess
I like to say thrifty.
Yeah, miserly's being generous.
Yes. Well, tomorrow they'll be tailgating here, and as Kevin mentioned, there'll be people here at 7 o'clock tomorrow morning, and I'll be here about a little bit before 8:30 because I have a little additional work to do tomorrow.
Does it involve the team of 1973?
It does. I am doing television interviews with them, and I'm looking forward to that. I've got about an hour and 45 minutes I can carve out in the morning to do that, which I will, and then I'll be on at 10:30, and we'll go from there.
Yeah, 10:30 in front of the BJ, and then over what to the you get to the stadium about what in the press box about 11:30-ish or so.
Yeah, right around there. We walk over, and when I do the pregame with Bill O'Brien, which I've already taped, that's what covers the walk over.
You ruined it now.
Oh darn! I thought you were in like the locker room with Bill, just yucking it up before the game.
Sure.
You know, there's a 5-minute window in the elevator where you're not allowed to be in it. There's a 5-minute window right before kickoff, but I always thought it was right before airtime, and I thought that was the Jones elevator there. I thought that was specially set up so nobody else can get in that elevator. But Steve.
I believe that's for the coaching staff.
Oh, my mistake there.
But one time, Jack and I went up the stairs, and the door was locked.
Ooh.
Oh, it was right after 9/11. The two alpha males are sitting there banging on the door until because we were determined we were not going back down. Well, after about a minute and a half, they opened the door.
And a smiling Jack Ham was there to greet them.
No, the two of us were like, oh, good, because we were not going back down. Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report next.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome. Great to have you with us. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Time to stock up. It's the first home football weekend of the season. And other games taking place across the area. Bucknell has Marist. Bloomsburg's playing.
Stonehill.
Penn State, Eastern Michigan. And, of course, you have to be fully stocked. And there's only one place to fully stock up. That is Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. It's not called the beverage supermarket for nothing. When you talk about the wide variety of beverages, did I mention beer? And also the snacks, the fresh hot roasted peanuts, and the pickle bar. I'm also with the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key, Woods 11 to 15 in Hummel's Wharf. All right, do you want me to bring in Tony here for about 10 minutes?
I'm ready. I'll be listening closely and keeping my fingers crossed.
Bob, you can report on how much his hands shake.
He is doing breathing exercises right now. That's how he's got to get his breath under control, his respiration rate down.
I got to make sure I'm down to 110 with my blood pressure.
Yeah.
I was 104 over 70.
I know.
104.
I don't want to tell you what level that is, but I think it's about 4 points above a coma. But
I asked him if they had to put a mirror under his nose, but he said no.
That's Steve, in all seriousness, that's pretty amazing, and not to those of us who know you a little bit, not surprising. You are the calmest man in any storm.
I believe the word I used earlier was comatose.
Yes, I'm in a coma. That's fine.
No, you're a very calm, even-keeled person. That blood pressure, the old diastolic, systolic, doesn't surprise me.
Yeah. So I mean, the bad news is I'm not dead. Yeah. All right. So, for a lot of people out there, like, going, oh, really? He's going to keep living? All right. I understand that part. And for Kevin, we're the only station in America that provides a microphone and also a brown paper bag. Breathe. Time now for Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. Tony, is this as unsettled a Steeler team as we've seen since you've been covering them?
Yeah, probably. I mean, I think you have to go back to that rough patch that Bill Cowher had before things settled down again, and he ultimately ended up winning a Super Bowl. He had about a five-year stretch there. I think it was a four-year stretch where they missed the playoffs three of those seasons. It was the end of the Cordell Stewart era, and it was that portion of the quarterback era where you saw, you know, Kent Graham get some starts and back in those days. So yeah, I think this is as unsettled as that time, no question about it. And certainly this is as rough a patch as Mike Tomlin has had, or as unsettled a patch as Mike Tomlin has had. So, but again, Mike Tomlin, you know, the sun has been pretty bright on Mike Tomlin as a head coach. 8-8 is his worst season at this point, and that was, of course, last year.
Yeah, no question about that. Let's talk about the couple young guys on defense. It seems like Mike Tomlin really likes Jarvis Jones. And what's the thought process on Shamarco Thomas?
Well, starting with Jarvis Jones, yeah, I would agree 100%. I mean, obviously the proof will be when he gets out there on the field. But as we know, Dick LeBeau has been very hesitant to play rookies a whole heck of a lot. You know, Troy Polamalu, who's heading toward the Hall of Fame, didn't play much, and when he did play, he wasn't very good, frankly, as a rookie. But they are planning on rotating three outside linebackers, Jason World, Lamar Woodley, and Jarvis Jones. So I think he'll get, at least in the early going, as many snaps as those other two guys, and then I think the dust will settle, where it settles, and they'll go from there. So that certainly speaks highly, to Jones. Jones has been one of the brightest points, frankly, of an otherwise down and negative preseason. As far as Shamarco Thomas goes, I think he might play only to give the other two safeties in front of him a bit of a breather here or there. That's not a knock on Shamarco Thomas, but Ryan Clark and Troy Polamalu are both 100% right now. That doesn't happen very often, that they're 100% at the same time, so they'll be out there as often as they can be.
Flip it over to the other side. What's the latest they tell you on Le'Veon Bell?
The only thing they're willing to say is that he is out for this week. I think we all knew that. I mean, we're expecting to hear that another four or five times here, probably at least through the bye week. Right. But perhaps, who knows, perhaps we're the ones that are wrong, and perhaps he will be back early. But they're not admitting, anything other than he's out this week. And again, I fully expect to hear that for the next 3 weeks at least after this.
So with Redmond settling in at that spot, what kind of options do they have, and what kind of specialty packages did they show at times in the preseason where even at moments they wouldn't have a tailback out there?
Didn't show a whole heck of a lot. I mean, they like to go two tight ends, but when your top two tight ends are on the shelf, it's makes it kind of difficult to do that. In addition, they've got a tight end coming back from an ACL tear in David Johnson. So and they're not very deep at the wide receiver spot either. So they're definitely limited. Isaac Redman's going to start. I think you're going to see Felix Jones get a chance to. I'm not going to predict that he splits reps, but I think he may get that chance if he shows something, to split reps. And then I think you're going to see a pretty decent amount of snaps for Lerod Stevens-Howling on third downs. I don't know that any of that is a solution. It's difficult for running backs. They like carries 9 through 20 the best. Carries 1 through 10 are the ones that they aren't that fond of. And it's going to be tough if they're splitting reps like this for either guy, to get too high in the double digits as far as carries go and get comfortable. So, this is all behind an offensive line that hasn't been very good in the preseason and has to show a lot more.
You mentioned the depth of wide receiver. Derek Boy made this team as part of that group as a fifth. What did he do that opened the door for him to stick?
Well, first of all, he was very solid as a receiver, without question. He also gives them the size that, frankly, they lack otherwise. But I think what really stood out for him was his special teams play, and I think that may get him a helmet on Sundays. He made a fantastic play chasing down, I forget which game this was, Stephen, I apologize, but he caught a guy from behind. I believe it was the final preseason game against Carolina. Caught a guy from behind on an interception and, showed that great speed, showed that great hustle. And he played well, like I said, on special teams and not just, he played well on some coverage units as well. So, that may be what gets him out there on Sundays. They may not go necessarily or plan to go with five receivers on Sundays. But I think he earned his spot over another former Penn Stater and a guy that they were happy to keep on the practice squad, Justin Brown.
Yeah. Let's get to the Pirates. When they finally got to the 81st, what was the feeling in the city?
It was interesting, and I think the players were, first of all, happy that they were on the road, so there wasn't any kind of a celebration, in the park that may have embarrassed them otherwise. But I tell you, Steve, the fans were, it was as big a relief as I've seen in quite some time, and a lot of people just saying, wow, I can't believe that they finally got here. And I think when you look at it from the outside, you say, well, all this guarantees is a mediocre season. Well, it does mean something for a team that's not even been mediocre for two full decades. So, and I think the other thing that really shines some light on what kind of accomplishment this is how bad they were just 3 or 4 years ago. They lost 105 games just 3 years ago. So the fact that they did it, and they did it with their core of young players, and the fact that the players said, yeah, this is a great notch, no question, and we're not done, I think that also really livened up the fan base. So they've got a bunch of more games here on the road, but it should be neat when this team comes home with that milestone, hopefully far in the rearview mirror.
They'll face, obviously, a fair diet of right-handed pitching, which means Justin Morneau is going to play more. Just making the acquisition in conjunction with the Bird Buck acquisition, what did that do to the fan base that they made these type of moves at this particular moment?
Well, I think it really energized the fan base, particularly the Morneau acquisition, because this is not a guy. Yes, these are rental players, but there's a significant price tag attached to Justin Morneau. This is a guy that the Pirates are going to owe $2.5 million to just for a month and, potentially however far they go into October. So I think that was a big plus. And again, Justin Morneau is not a Marlon Byrd. Marlon Byrd's a guy who's hot right now, who has been, had an up and down career. Justin Morneau is an established former MVP, a guy who, frankly, may have been on his way to bigger and better things before that concussion a couple of years ago. And he's a very well-respected guy in the game of baseball. And to hear the players talk about him and to see in their eyes, I think how energized they felt about getting Justin Morneau and adding him to this lineup. And, frankly, all of these guys, certainly Byrd and Morneau, have produced at a big-time clip since they showed up and put on a Pirates uniform. So I think that part of it has been exciting. And, the issues that they had with Bass coming off the bench and in right field and at first base have been solved. Now the Pirates need to make sure their rotation is solid. It's a different problem now than one that they had just a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, the first and right field thing we talked about, you referenced the domino. The options that Clint Hurdle has now, completely different than a month ago as to what he can do as a manager.
Without question, and especially when Starling Marte rejoins the lineup. And I think this also allows them to let him come back when he's healthy. You never know with a wrist injury as far as a hitter goes as to when they can actually get back and swing a solid bat. So I think it certainly allows them to do that. And, again, the bench is so much deeper, and there's a lot more options, like you just said, coming off the bench. I mean, now you can choose, do you want a Jose Tabata for a specific situation? Do you want a Garrett Jones for a specific situation? Do you want a John Buck or a Russell Martin as a bat? In late innings off the bench, which they can do in September because they've got three catchers on the roster now. So he definitely has a lot more options, and how he uses them is going to be interesting, but it certainly is nice to go in and pull out a pinch hitter, even in an extra inning game, and it doesn't have to be Clint Barmas. It can be, or Tony Sanchez.
Yes.
It can be a bona fide major league hitter.
Yes, and that brings us to the next part. How interested are you as to how the Melanson-Grilly thing is handled in the final 3 weeks?
I think it's going to be interesting. That is one area, though, where I do have a lot of faith in how the Pirates have worked things. The bullpen has really been such a strong spot over the past couple of years, honestly, even in spite of the collapses the past 2 years. I do think it'll be interesting. They got Grilly in a situation the other day, which was probably a very good situation to get his first innings, a blowout game, no pressure whatsoever. I wouldn't be surprised if it got to the point that Clint Hurdle decided to go with the hot hand. You know, I do think you may see Grilly set up a little bit because Melanson's been so strong. But Melanson's not been the dominant ninth-inning guy that Grilly was when he was hot. Grilly would come in and absolutely shut the door. You know, Melanson will give up a hit here or there, work with a guy in scoring position. If they can get that Grilly back, and if that happens organically, well, that's certainly ideal for the Pirates.
That's what's happened in Boston with Koji Uehara. It's unbelievable. His last eight outings have been 1-2-3 innings. Wow.
I mean, I'll be frank with you. Nothing like that. Absolutely.
I grew up to get the win,
but because I think that establishes a bit of a dominance and a bit of a I don't want to say that other players are intimidated, but there is a little bit of that factor, I think, when a guy comes in and slams the door, you know, like you're talking about.
I mean, I grew up in New England. I've never seen that. I'm used to excitement in the ninth inning from the bullpen.
Now the Yankees are learning that, Steve. How about that over the past couple of weeks?
And it happened. The Red Sox turned it on Rivera last night, and that's why I've been telling people, look, winning's hard. I mean, Pirate fans know that. It's hard.
They know that very, very well, absolutely.
Tony, always a pleasure. Have a great weekend, my friend.
Back to you. Have a great
Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. Are you satisfied?
I thought it was very interesting that he said one of the bright spots was a trade that the Steelers made with the Eagles that I remember you saying was, how did you word it? Not boring. You did have a word for it. I don't remember exactly how you put it, but it turned out to be a pretty good trade for the Steelers right now.
He's gained how many yards?
I don't care. It's a bright spot. Listen, if you're a Steeler fan right now, bright spot is the thing you're listening for.
How many yards has he gained so far?
Officially or unofficially?
Does it matter?
They're both the same. Zero.
It might be.
Zero.
But the bright spot in a year that doesn't seem to have too many bright spots, that was a bright spot.
You know, Tony's discussion about those Pirates was exhilarating. Well, Kevin is getting some optimism about the Steelers because of a trade for an untested running back. I am just here beaming to hear Tony talk about the Pirates and the potential they have.
The trades they've made have opened the door for them to go all the way. That's the chance that, you know, does it ensure it'll happen?
No. But we haven't had this kind of optimism about Pirate baseball since 79, maybe 91, 92.
No, 92. 92, yeah, 92 was a lot was of optimism. Legit. Yeah, there was a lot of optimism in 92 about what they could do. But, no, I mean, this is special. This is different. And then, of course, we get to, you know, Captain Panic over here, who's like, they picked up a running back who's on his third team in 8 months. Well done.
Bright spot.
Yeah. We do have lots of high school football tonight, by the way. And Kevin is getting antsy. He's got the engine in the Hermobile warmed up out in the parking lot, ready to head over to Mifflinburg for the Schick Mifflin game tonight.
Oh, good. I'm glad they brought the limo over. Time to take a break. We're, of course, being brought to you today by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket, as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK. All right, big high school football night coming up tonight, including Shikellamy taking on Mifflinburg here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, but the family of stations of Sunbury Broadcasting have a big night as well.
That's right. We have on 100.9 The Valley, Todd Hummel, Dave Ritchie bringing you Lewisburg and Mount Carmel. Pat O'Brien, Ryan Brandt will make the trip to Camp Hill for Seelands Grove Trinity on Eagle 107 and Eagle107.com. And then on 1380 WMLP It will be Brett Michaels and joined by Justin Dunkelberger, and they will have Milton and Warrior Run from Defender Stadium in Turbotville.
And by the way, it's a big weekend for the Olympics because they're going to determine this weekend which sport stays. Wrestling is the favorite now over baseball, softball, and squash. It's also the weekend where they determine where the 2020 Olympics are going to be. It's going to be between Madrid, Istanbul, and Tokyo. Expect Tokyo to emerge as the winner.
Wasn't there an issue, though, with Tokyo's bid because of the because of looming problems from the earthquake?
It's all right.
The tsunami warning system getting in place. Just a minor problem there in the construction phase of stadium building. You know, we ought to send Cale Sanderson to that meeting to make one last, plea to keep wrestling in the Olympics and demonstrating it with his patented arm bar half Nelson series on the head of the IOC.
Boy. By the way, on Monday's show, we're going to get Tim Nevert, the Pirates play-by-play voice on.
Oh, boy. That's right after they return from that three-game series with St. Louis. If things go well out in the show-me state, Tim could be pumped by Monday.
I mean, it's been remarkable, you know, what they've done. It's been fun to watch, and we're very pleased to get Tim on the show on Monday, so we're looking forward to that.
Steve, isn't he from central Pennsylvania somewhere in the mid-state?
You know what? He did a lot of work out west. I mean, a lot of work out west before he did this. I'm not sure where he grew up, to be frank with you.
Okay. I thought some reason he was from, and I could be wrong on this, the Harrisburg area originally.
He might be, and I'll have to ask him that because I know that he was doing a lot of work for the Mountain West Network and Fox Sports Mountain.
Mm-hmm. He really caught the wave. He caught the wave this season, didn't he?
Yeah, he sure did. It's worked out well for him, and he's a great guy. I like Tim a lot. Tim did the Penn State Duquesne basketball game last year, so I really got a chance to sit down, talk with him, meet him. He's just a really good, down-to-earth guy. Tonight, of course, big high school football weekend, college football coming up tomorrow, and more NFL openers on Sunday, including the Steelers taking on Tennessee. Monday night, it's the Eagles and the Redskins in the early Monday night game. Remember, that's a 7 o'clock game on Monday night. You need to stock up at Brewer's Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. The pickle bar, the hot, fresh roasted peanuts, Bob. You're talking about great snacks. Lots and lots of beverages to mention beer. All right, so, yes, so, I mean, that's...
But, you know, the thing is, we have not had a visit up here on the top of the mountain from Corey Fassel down at the Brewer's Outlet, who last year, Corey, if you're listening, brought us garlic pickles.
I think we just violated an FCC rule there.
Did we?
Oh, boy.
Okay.
Just kidding, Bob.
Corey, it's always a thrill to talk with you and deal with you. You're the best.
He is, and he brings us refreshments.
Yes. All right, so final thoughts around the table. Go ahead, Kevin.
I'm sorry, Steve. Real quick, I wanted to plug later on tonight during the high school football games, if you're watching them, at them, or you're just not able to get to any of them, you can actually get the scoreboard update on your PC, mobile device, or handheld device as well, like a phone, with the mobile-friendly version of WKOK Scoreboard. So go to WKOK.com, click on the scoreboard link, and you'll get a mobile-friendly version as well. So if you're at any of the games, you'll know the score of the rest of the games.
Terrific. Looking forward to that. Let's see if Shikalimi can break through tonight, although Mifflinburg will be a tough test.
It will be. It will be a very solid passing game there that's going to be a big test for the Braves defense. And Mifflinburg looking to bounce back as well.
Lewisburg,
gentlemen, always fun.
Yes.
Lewisburg, Mifflinburg, yeah.
That's Dave Ritchie, boy.
Ah, the Chief in action. That was nothing like a Friday night with Horty.
I've said that for 17 years.
It's okay. He talked to me about you, too.
Or a Saturday with Jack Ham.
Nirvana. I'm on with him at 10:30 tomorrow. Hope you can join us.